Are you ready?
What?
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the FUBU of Wrestling Podcast, the For Us, By Us Wrestling Podcast, for wrestling fans, by wrestling fans. Welcome to the Chair Shots and Masked Men Podcast, Episode 2. Greater than WrestleMania 2, but kind of worse than SummerSlam Part 2. I am your host, Todd Suliano, as always, with
Jesse Matthews.
And today, we are talking three things in particular. One, we are talking Daniel Bryan. And two, we are talking WrestleMania 9. And three, we are talking WrestleMania 11. The reason why those things are so random is because, as everyone heard last week, I recommended to Jesse that he watch WrestleMania 11, and he told me to watch WrestleMania 9, and I hate him for it, as I'm sure he hates me for making him watch WrestleMania 11.
At least they were like WrestleMania 11 was only like 2 hours long. At least it wasn't 3 hours.
Yeah. And we are also talking Daniel Bryan because, as everyone is aware, we did this podcast on Tuesday? Yeah, it was last Tuesday, and then as soon as we finished recording, he announced he was going to return to wrestling.
You thought he would give us a heads up, at least.
Yeah, I mean, he's from Memphis. He lived in Memphis for a minute. He should have at least told us.
Man, we could have broke the story for him.
Yeah. Anywho, what are your thoughts on that, the Daniel Bryan situation?
I mean, it's good that they figured out, you know, there's nothing really wrong with him. And clearing him's good. Really? Man, it's him wanting to wrestle again after all that, him, like, admitting to having over, like, 20 concussions. Like, pro wrestling is like a fucking addiction, man. It is like a disease.
Yes, it is.
But even though he's clear, and, you know, they say, hey, you can wrestle, but you know, should he still be doing it, really? Probably not.
Yeah, probably not. But
probably not.
It's what he loves to do. As he said, it's the only thing he's ever known to do. So if he can do it, let him do it. I honestly didn't think he was actually cleared, and I didn't believe it until Sami Zayn took him down.
Yeah, they definitely didn't take it easy on him for this first night back.
Like, when he started doing the corner drop kicks, that's when I was like, holy fuck, he actually is back. He's wrestling again.
Yeah, I mean, it's good he's back, but I don't know, man. He could be a commissioner for like 5 years. I mean, that's a pretty comfy gig.
Yeah, but he wants to wrestle. Let him wrestle. That's what I say.
Well, hopefully don't even badly.
Yeah, all right. So, I mean, think about it. Like, he's coming back, and his first match back is possibly going to be teaming with Shane McMahon against Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn at WrestleMania. The 4 years after the last time he was in that venue, 4 years ago, he won the world title. And he's returning his first match back, and wrestling is going to be back in that arena. That's kind of cool. And it's also smart that they're putting him in a tag match instead of just immediately putting him in like a singles match or a triple threat with Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn, because it makes it so he doesn't have to bump around as much and he doesn't have to do as much.
Yeah, that's true. One more great thing about this is we can finally get the Miz versus Daniel Bryan.
Hopefully.
Hopefully he can last that long.
It's going to happen at fucking Starcade this year again, and that's still not going to be on the network.
Well, before we get into the WrestleMania talk, or the WrestleMania review talk here, I want to say, I'm watching Nitro right now. So I haven't paused. This is the Nitro the night after Halloween Havoc, 96. Okay? I haven't paused right now.
Hold on, that was when Piper debuted, wasn't it?
Yes, right now it's showing... like a replay or a picture from the night before of where Hogan and Piper are talking. There's a guy in the front row. And what kind of shirt does he have on, you ask? A pop-up Ginchango t-shirt.
Huh.
Where did you even get a pop-up Shango t-shirt at?
I don't know.
Even in 96, where did you get one?
It's weird.
That's fucking weird as shit, man.
There actually is a Papa Shango shirt on barbershopwindow.com that says, I love it when you call me Big Papa.
Well, definitely not that one.
Well, what's playing in the background here in my living room right now is WrestleMania 10.
Oh, a good WrestleMania.
I don't know if it's a good one or not.
No, it's good compared to the others, please.
Honestly, I don't think there really is a great WrestleMania until, like, WrestleMania, like, 14, maybe.
Yeah, because WrestleMania sucked, man. A lot of WrestleManias weren't that good.
And, like, WrestleMania 14 was fucking great. It had, like, S.A. Rios versus Takumi Shinoku opening match, which was great. It had a dumpster match with Terry Funk and Cactus Jack against the Outlaws.
I love that match.
Undertaker and Kane had a great match. Shamrock and The Rock had a great match. Triple H and Owen Hart had a great match. Fuck, I want to rewatch that WrestleMania now.
Not to mention the main event was Shawn Michaels and Stone Cold, man.
Yeah. That was when the Austin era has officially begun.
Yeah. Fucking Mike Tyson.
Alright, do you want to review WrestleMania 11 first, or do you want me to review WrestleMania 9 first?
You can take it, man. I want to put this off as long as possible. All
right, because I got 3 pages of notes.
Good.
All right, let's start it. This was JR's first appearance in the WWE, and they immediately put him in a damn toga. And I'm just reading my notes as I read them. If they seem incoherent, it's because I was just typing shit. 16,000 people seems so small for a WrestleMania. That's what they announced the crowd was, 16,000, and that really does seem really fucking tiny for WrestleMania.
I have a feeling that went 16,000 people.
When the elephants turned around, it would have been hilarious if they started to shit on the crowd. Macho Man comes out carried by virgins. Bobby Heenan, a.k.a. the best part of anything he was ever involved with, comes out backwards on camel and freaking the fuck out. Okay, match time. Shawn Michaels versus Tatanka is the opening match. Tatanka is putting up his undefeated streak against HBK's Intercontinental title. I never liked Tatanka's theme music. It sounded like an 8-bit version that would have been in a WWF Super Nintendo game. Tatanka reversed the crossbody into an arm drag. It looked really damn cool. Bobby Heenan and Randy Savage are discussing Luna. Randy said, is she from Oklahoma? Bobby Heenan said, no, she's pretty. Tatanka hit a shoulder breaker. Coincidentally enough, the shoulder breaker was Scott Norton's finish, and on the first episode of Thunder, the announcers were shocked that Lex Luger kicked out of it. I had just watched the first episode of Thunder, like, right before I started this. Shawn Michaels kicked Tatanka in the gut and then ran the rope so he could walk his way into hitting a swinging neck breaker. Shawn grabbed the ref. Off for the bell after Tatanka hit a big move that would have won. I think the ref is a click ref. The fans are cheering because Tatanka won by one after a count out. If that happened today, the crowd would boo. I always forget, alright, that was the finish of that match. The next match is Steiner Brothers. I always forget that the Steiner Brothers were in the WWF in the early 90s. It did not look right. And I still stand by that. They did not look right coming out in the Manhattan Center.
No, one thing I want to ask about the Shawn Michaels Tatanka match was Sensational Sherry at ringside with Tatanka?
She technically wasn't. She didn't come out with him. She came out after the match had started, and she started cheering Tatanka on.
Okay, well, because I read about that, and I was reading about WrestleMania 9, and it said the first match was, I remember Luna being with Shawn Michaels that match, but I had no memory of Sherry being there with Tatanka. I was like, why was she there?
Yeah.
Why was she in ringside?
And my next note is something that I don't want anyone to ever forget, and it's that Rikishi wrestled Scott Steiner at WrestleMania. No one should ever forget that.
This is like the best match of the show right here, man.
It really was. Do you know who the referee was in that match?
Fonzie.
The world's greatest manager, Daddy, is the referee.
Yeah, fucking, that's what I'm talking about.
Steiner Brothers did a double top rope clothesline off of the same rope to the head shrinkers, and it looked impressive because they looked like they were going to die. J- JR interrupts the match to tell everyone that Sensational Sherry was attacked in the first aid station by Luna. Heenan replies with, "Super." Scott Steiner was so fucking good, because he really was. He was amazing back in the day. It always bugged me that the Steiners rarely ever wore matching attire. They're a tag team and they're brothers. You think they would be able to, like, coordinate at least once and have matching gear.
I'm sure it happened one time.
Rick Steiner reversed a Doomsday device into a power slam, and it looked incredible. Steiner wins after Frankensteiner. Crush versus Doink is next. Remember when Brian Adams showed up in the NWO? He couldn't get over, so let's put a t-shirt on him.
Yeah.
Crush wore the most 90s attire ever. Shit was Dayglow, orange, yellow, and purple.
He was a big Sky fan.
There's a second Doink. The mirror spot would have been better had Doink number one not had his paint almost completely worn off. This is the most memorable thing about this pay-per-view. At least WrestleMania 11 had Undertaker versus King Kong Bundy. I don't know, both sucked. Todd Pettengill just asked an Asian photographer, "Hey, what do you think of Yokozuna?" Razor Ramon, that man fucking oozed machismo. Did they build this place specifically for WrestleMania? I honestly had never heard of it before watching this. I mean, I know that Caesar's Palace Casino exists, but the little arena deal, is that a real thing? And I still don't know. Did they actually have things there, or is that just built for WrestleMania?
I have no idea. Did anybody actually travel to this WrestleMania, or was it just people like by the casino?
I don't know. They interviewed some people from Southern California.
Was it local people or what?
Razor versus Bob Backlund. Jesus Christ. Razor won with a small package because there's no way in hell Bob Backlund could take a Razor's edge. Money Inc. interview now. God damn it. Tag team title match now.
I like this match. I really like Money Inc., man. Money Inc. was good.
Hogan looked so fucking out of place around this time in WWF, and I stand by that. He did not look right coming out. Brutus Beefcake had 18 gimmicks in wrestling. And I wrote them all out. He started in Memphis as Ed Boulder and then became Eddie Golden, then Dizzy Golden, and then Eddie Hogan, and then Dizzy Hogan. And then he wrestled as Brute Force Baron Beefcake, Brutus Beefcake, Brutus the Barber Beefcake. He showed up for a little while as Furface, a man in a mask who helped enhancement talents beat superstars. And then he showed up in WCW as Brother Brutai. And then the really Clipmaster. Do what?
I really liked him when he had a mask and he kept attacking people.
He showed up in WCW as Brother Brutai and then became the Clipmaster and then the Butcher, where he main evented Starrcade against Hogan in 1994. Then he became the Man with No Name and then the Man with No Face and then Zodiac and then Booty Man and then Big Brother Booty and then the Disciple. At one point, that man was known as Big Brother Booty.
He made a lot of money being Hulk Hogan's weed guy.
Yes. DiBiase main evented WrestleMania 4, and 5 years later, he is wrestling in a tag match against Hogan and Big Brother Booty. Hogan is crawling for the hot tag. Beefcake is trying to accept the hot tag. The Clipmaster is going to run the hot tag. Good Lord.
Shouldn't that be the other way around?
You would think so. Ted DiBiase hit the Butcher in the back with a Money in the Bank briefcase. Money in the Bank briefcase. Excuse me. He might be able to cash in.
Somebody cashed in that night.
IRS wrestled in dress pants. I can barely move my legs comfortably in dress pants. This motherfucker wrestled in them. Jimmy Hart flipped his jacket inside out and is now the ref. Hogan and Dizzy win. Wait, no, because you can't do that, Jimmy. Lex Luger versus Mr. Perfect is next. This is officially the second Lex Luger match I've seen this week, which means it's the most Lex Luger I've watched since like 1999. Mr. Perfect had such amazing theme music.
Yeah, he did.
Mr. Perfect was not a great babyface character. His character is a natural heel, and yet he was a face. He made it work, but the gimmick did not work as a face. Why is the apron so short? I don't remember there being a weird blue second apron underneath the WrestleMania one. is the ring on the lips or something, and the aprons are no longer long enough. Do you remember that?
No.
There was like two aprons.
No.
It was weird. Watching Mr. Perfect wrestle is one of the best things about the WWE Network. Mr. Perfect is chopping the shit out of Luger. The crowd doesn't woo with every chop. It sounds weird. This is Luger's first WrestleMania. Next year, he will be an All-American Patriot and wrestle Yokozuna for the belt. Complete fucking 180 on his gimmick.
The narcissist, I think, was better than the fucking Lex Express.
Yeah. Mr. Perfect puts Lex on a sleeper, and Macho Man says, "I didn't know he knew that hold. It's a goddamn sleeper, not the tarantula." Lex won with a backslide pin. What a great finish. After the match, Lex hit him with his loaded forearm. Perfect attacked Luger backstage, so naturally Sean attacked Mr. Perfect. And this is what I wrote next. God, I've been dreading this. Undertaker versus Giant Gonzalez time. If Undertaker was undefeated at SummerSlam, would it have meant the same thing? I mean, would it? I mean, they promote SummerSlam as a huge deal, but if he was undefeated at SummerSlam, would they promote it as such?
Isn't somebody, like, undefeated at SummerSlam? Like, Randy Orton or some random person?
I don't know. I don't know if anyone is or not. Undertaker comes out with a bird. Bobby Heenan is... Do what?
The bird of death.
Bobby Heenan is saying that Giant Gonzalez is 20 foot 10 inches tall. I hated when Undertaker's gimmick was that he was a no-selling monster. Gonzalez is knocking Undertaker out with chloroform. That's okay. It's only illegal if he doesn't break the 5 count. He didn't. Gonzalez was DQ'd, or is it a no contest? They haven't made an announcement yet. He's just attacking everyone as Undertaker leans on a stretcher. Crowd is chanting for Hogan. Undertaker is coming back out now, and he's beating some giant ass. Is the match over? Yes, Fink just announced that Taker won by DQ. What took them so long to announce that? Mean Gene keeps calling Jim Ross Jimmy Ross. I'm sure it's a rib. About to be main event time. Better interview WWF Tag Team Championship number one contender Hulk Hogan. He's got Bret's back, as do the Hulkamaniacs, apparently. Hogan literally just said, and I quote, "I'm issuing a challenge to either you or that Jap, brother." Jesus Christ. This man was a babyface and he called someone a Jap. How the hell did people actually believe that Yokozuna was Japanese? Remember when he spoke English for the first time besides saying bonsai and he had a thick urban accent? Yeah. Is Yokozuna in the Hall of Fame? I can't remember if he is or not. And I didn't look it up, so I don't know. I feel like he is, but I really don't know. Brett has the sharpshooter in. He's going to make that big bastard tap. All that evil Mr. Fuji threw salt in his eyes and Yoko got the pin. Yokozuna is the new champion, but wait... Hogan is out to try to tell the ref what happened. Will the ref listen? No, but Yoko is issuing a challenge to Hogan right there, right now. Brett is giving Hogan permission to bury Yoko. Number one contender for the WWF Tag Team Championship, Hulk Hogan versus Yokozuna now for the WWF Championship. Leg drop, 1, 2, 3. Who saw this coming? The Hulkamania is running wild for whatever reason. The only person not talking about a Hulk winning is Macho Man. I'm sure he's just pissed off. Wait, he said, and I quote, "Unbelievable." It's still sunny there. What time did this pay-per-view start? Jesus, it's still sunny.
I was thinking about that earlier.
And that's the last thing I wrote for that piece of shit pay-per-view. Overall, the best match with the Head Shrinkers versus the Steiner Brothers, in my opinion.
One other thing I want to say is Hogan had a black eye in the main event.
Yes, he did.
And in the tag match, I guess. But, because Macho Man beat the shit out of him.
Well, that, or he got into a ski boat accident? Jet ski?
Yeah, the jet skiing, that didn't happen. Macho Man gave this motherfucker a black eye.
That wouldn't surprise me, honestly.
I wish JEW was around. No, I don't wish JEW was around. I wish I would have thought of this 10 years ago. I wish somebody would have did the fucking WrestleMania 9 spot like this. Like, I think that would have been fucking funny, man. Like you and Adam could have been wrestling, and you could beat Adam, and I could have came out to help him, and he told me that he could tell me to go for it. You could have called me out, and I could have hit you in an elbow drop and won the world title, man.
Which or we could have... We could have combined that with the finger poke of doom.
We should have just took whole WrestleMania and fucking Nitro storylines and redid them.
Yeah.
Matches and redid them. That'd been fucking great.
But instead, we tried to be creative.
What a stupid thing that was.
All right, start talking about WrestleMania 11. I gotta get my charger for the computer.
Alrighty. Best thing about this entire show was when it first opened up and had the classic WrestleMania theme, the one Linda McMahon stole and used as her own. That was just the best damn music in the fucking world, man. I love that song.
What song?
The WrestleMania, the classic WrestleMania theme, man.
Oh, you mean Linda McMahon's theme song?
Yes, that one. I like all the celebrities there. Pam Anderson, Jimmy McCarthy, Jonathan Taylor Thomas, some guy that I refuse to name from the NYPD Blue show that I have no idea who he is. Lawrence Taylor and his all-pro team. Holy shit, there's a Mongo McMichael fighting.
Yes, the legendary Four Horsemen member, and who had a feud with Bill Goldberg over Mongo's Super Bowl ring that Goldberg felt was rightfully his for whatever reason.
Did he beat Mongo in the Super Bowl, or did Mongo beat them in the Super Bowl?
No, Mongo won the Super Bowl with, like, the 86 Bears.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that didn't happen. But if that would have happened, that would have been really fucking funny.
Goldberg was in the NFL in, like, 1992.
What? Oh, my God. Anyway, and last but not least, Salt and Pepper. Because what would any mid-90s anything be without salt and pepper?
They're in effect. They want you to push it, baby.
Yeah. One very sad thing in this opening monologue here by the commentators. Vince McMahon says sports entertainment. It is 1995, and they are already pushing that crap.
I feel like they were pushing that during rock and wrestling.
I mean, they probably were. I just never really fucking paid attention.
I didn't, yeah, because I wasn't alive.
Yeah, I've never watched it on the network. The opening match is Lex Luger and the British Bulldog versus Two Guns.
Is it Yoko and Owen Hart? Or the Smoking Guns?
Neither. It is two twin Nazis.
Oh, those guys.
I had no idea Bulldog was still in the WWF in 1995.
Yeah. I honestly forgot that Lex Luger wrestled in WrestleMania 11.
The Nazis come out with Dutch Mantel.
Oh.
That's nice. Dutch Mantel is probably the best wrestler involved in this whole match. 5 seconds into the match, Luger botches something and nearly kills one of the Nazis.
I would have been okay with that, though.
And he possibly could have killed the other Nazi and Bulldog.
Bulldog was dead 8 years later anyway.
Damn, only 8 years away. That's terrible. So that was... Luger and Bulldog win the tag team match in this exciting house show match. Jim Ross is doing post-match interviews. He's doing that while Vince McMahon and Jerry Lawler are on commentary. That's how they use Jim Ross for this entire show. Backstage interview they try to do with Pam Anderson, but there is no audio because it sucks.
Are you serious?
Yeah. They can't find Pam, but they can't say that they can't find Pam because there's no audio to tell them. The entire audio is just blank, and Vince says, oh, we'll try to get back there later on.
Good God. I think she managed Shawn Michaels, didn't she?
She was supposed to, but he dumped her for Jenny McCarthy.
Okay, I think there was a rumor around that time that Tommy Lee, her husband at the time, or fiance, boyfriend, whatever, threatened to beat up Shawn Michaels.
Yes, because everybody was saying Shawn Michaels was trying to have relations with her.
I mean, who wouldn't have?
It probably made Tommy Lee really pissed off.
She used to be really hot.
Yes, she's Canadian after all.
Is she?
Yep.
Huh.
Anyway, the next match is a Double J with the Roadie versus Razor Ramon with the 1-2-3 Kid. Razor Ramon went from wrestling HBK in a ladder match at WrestleMania 10 in one of the greatest matches of all time to wrestling Jeff Jarrett a year later.
Well, what do you think about this? X-Pac, the 1-2-3 Kid, joined the WWE in 1993, and his first WrestleMania match was in 1999 at WrestleMania 15.
Well, yeah, but he was only in there for like 3 years. He left for a little while.
He was supposed to have a match at WrestleMania 10. I believe it was supposed to be he and Sparky Plug against the Smoking Guns, or there's supposed to be like an 8-man tag match with those two guys, but I cannot remember what it is. Now I gotta look it up because it's gonna bug me.
Anyway, I'm pretty sure Razor wins by DQ. The Roadie jumps in, Jeff Jarrett tags. In comes 1-2-3 Kid, and they clear the house. And 1-2-3 Kid is in like a leather karate jacket. It's really, really freaking weird. There's no way he walks around wearing this. Did you find out what you were looking for?
I'm looking now.
Okay. Anyway, the next match is a classic between King Kong Bundy versus The Undertaker. Why are they having a match? That is because The Undertaker is pissed off because IRS stole the urn.
Okay, this is what the match was supposed to be. It was supposed to be an 8-man tag match with IRS, the Head Shrinkers, or a 10-man, IRS, the Head Shrinkers, Rick Martel, and Jeff Jarrett versus the 1-2-3 Kid, Sparky Plug, Tatanka, and the Smoking Guns. And it was canceled. The kayfabe reason why it was canceled was because the Hill team could not agree on who would be the team's captain for the match. The real reason is because of time constraints. However, Bob Holly stated in his 2013 autobiography that the timekeeper backstage repeatedly told the referee over his earpiece to end the ladder match, but Michaels and Ramon ignored him and kept wrestling until officials were forced to cancel the tag team match.
Oh, man. Looks like Razor took the heat on that one.
I guess so.
But yeah, man, IRS stole the urn, and The Undertaker is really mad, so he's fighting King Kong Bundy for it.
Yeah, that was such a weird feud.
Taker gets the urn back, and it's huge. It is a really big urn this time. I have no idea why it's such a big urn. Paul Bear opens the urn, and there is a flash light inside. There's a spotlight that shines out of the urn, because all the spirits are escaping like they did in one of them Scooby-Doo episodes.
What movie was that?
I don't know. But Paul Bearer has it back, and The Undertaker has his powers back. But oh no, out comes Kama Mustafa. He comes out and steals the urn back.
Do you want to hear a story about Kama Mustafa?
Yes.
When I was a kid, I thought Kama Mustafa was Mustafa from the Gangstas. I didn't know he was Papa Shango. I thought it was Mustafa from the Gangstas. And for the longest time, I thought the reason why Mustafa was no longer in ECW was because he was Kama Mustafa and then became the Godfather.
That would have been awesome. Surprise, surprise, The Undertaker wins, but he is powerless because Money Inc. still has the urn.
Yippee.
Very sad. We have a backstage promo next with Mongo, Reggie White, and some other random NFL players that I have no idea who they are. But they're all challenging people from Money Inc. One of them says, like, hey, Tatanka, I'm watching you, brother. I'm going to get you. This is really stupid. But it's all dumb except for Reggie White because he was badass. Anyway, after that, the camera cuts over to another room, and it's Bob Backlund and Jonathan Taylor Thomas. They are playing a game of chess.
Good God.
This is the funniest thing I've ever heard in my life. Bob Backlund said, get out of here with that camera. That's what's wrong with America nowadays. Everybody has a camera. Now, he said this in 1995. Little did he know what America would become with him. He probably would have loved that cell phone.
Yeah.
All right, let's see. Where are we next? Oh, yes. Next up is Owen Hart and Yokozuna with Mr. Fuji and Jim Cornette versus the Smoking Guns. This is a real match right here. Yoko waves. More racist stuff here about Yokozuna, actually. Yoko waves a Japanese flag, and the racist wrestling fans boo the shit out of him.
Yes, they do.
I'm pretty sure they're in Connecticut. I think they're in Connecticut on this show. Why are all these Connecticut people booing the Japanese flag?
No. I don't know, but Billy and Bart Gunn probably called him a Jap.
They probably did at some point. Owen and Yoko win the tag team titles. Jim Cornette gets in the camera and says, Yoko and Michael Jordan are back. So I guess Yoko had been out for a while or something. Kind of neat for him to say him and Michael Jordan are both back.
I honestly do not remember any of this.
Oh, yeah. This is what I really have, though. I do not remember this at all. And this is something I thought I might would have remembered. An I Quit match. Rowdy Piper is the special ref as Bob Backlund takes on Bret Hart. I have no idea how Bret Hart is in this match right now. It is terrible. Piper is the most annoying special ref ever. He constantly says, do you give? Do you quit? Into the microphone every 15 seconds. He literally says it 27 times in the match. He is trying to steal the spotlight away from these two. I don't know if it's funny or terrible, but it is annoying as shit. Bret Hart wins with a cross-face chicken wing. And, that's it. Anyway, up next, Jonathan Taylor Thomas comes out as a special timekeeper. Dude from NYPD Blue comes out as a ring announcer. HBK versus Diesel is up next. HBK is out with Sid and Jenny McCarthy. Diesel comes out with Pam Anderson. The weirdest thing is, Vince on commentary keeps saying, like, oh, Pam must have left Sean for Diesel, and Sean had to settle for old Jenny McCarthy. And they're making it sound like Jenny McCarthy is just, like, a terrible person and just hideous.
Well, nowadays she is.
Well, back then she was probably a lot cooler than Pamela Anderson.
Yeah. I had a huge crush on her back in the day because I used to watch Singled Out when I was, like, 7 years old.
Yeah, that was a cool-ass show. Jerry Lawler says, this is Shawn Michaels' 7th WrestleMania. And I had a fact check this. It is. It is only WrestleMania 11, but it's already Shawn Michaels' 7th fucking WrestleMania.
Jesus Christ.
He wrestled the tag match at WrestleMania 5 and 6. But yeah, this is the best match on the show. It's only because Shawn Michaels. Diesel don't really do anything. Shawn Michaels bumps around for him. It's terrible. The entrance was the best part, probably.
What's weirder about Shawn Michaels wrestling at WrestleMania 5 is that Bret Hart wrestled at WrestleMania 2.
Yeah.
And Matt Bourne, a.k.a. Doink the Clown, wrestled at WrestleMania 1.
Didn't Bret Hart wrestle in, like, wasn't that, like, a Battle Royal or something?
Yeah, it was the NFL versus WWF Battle Royal.
Why were they in love with the NFL back then?
I don't know, but I think that's the match that...
It was popular back then, and it is now.
Didn't Refrigerator Perry win that match, or did Andre win that match?
I think William Perry won it. Anyway, out comes the Million Dollar Corporation for the main event. What the fuck? I've argued for years it's not the main event.
Yeah, I know.
Here comes NFL players. Main event, Bam Bam Bigelow versus Lawrence Taylor. Honestly, this match isn't as bad as you would think, but it's very far from good. Lawrence Taylor wins and buries professional wrestling all at the same time.
Yep.
After the match, Vince says, Lawrence Taylor is the winner. And the show just abruptly cuts off right there. That was pretty funny. Lawrence Taylor's the winner. I thought we were going to get a big brawl with the wrestlers or with Money Inc. and the NFL players. Nothing like that. Just a big cuts off. Overall, I thought this was terrible. Jim Ross was awful. I don't know why they use him for the post-match ringside interviewer. How did he call WrestleMania 9 but not this one? Fucking Vince is terrible. Him and Lawler are both terrible. But Vince is really bad, and he's going to be on commentary for even 2 more years. He don't leave until WrestleMania 13, I think, is his last one.
Jeez.
He did it 2 more years, and he was terrible. It makes me very mad. Also, a random fact about this WrestleMania, there's like 15 photographers around ringside throughout the whole show. They get in the way a lot. Like, Shawn Michaels, like, you can, like, see him, like, pushing them all out of the way at one point. And I guess it's because they wanted to get a bunch of pics of Lawrence Taylor.
Yeah.
But it seems like they would have saved him for that match, at least. But, yeah, man, that's all I got for that show. This might be the worst WrestleMania ever. It might be.
Well, according to your Twitter poll, people do not agree with that.
Well, they're fucking stupid. I was very shocked and surprised. I thought everybody would think WrestleMania 9 was better.
No, dude, you underestimate how much people hate WrestleMania 9.
Well, they're all fucking marks. This show is the worst show ever. This might be the... WrestleMania 1, 2, and this WrestleMania might be the 3 worst WrestleManias of all time.
You say that because you haven't watched WrestleMania 4. That match, that pay-per-view was a fucking shit show.
At least it was a really big tournament that Macho Man won.
All right, let's look at the match. They had 16 matches at WrestleMania 4.
They all went by really fast. And something exciting happened. There was nothing noteworthy that happened in WrestleMania 11.
Only 2 matches at WrestleMania 4 went over 10 minutes. The main event was less than 10 minutes long.
I don't know, man. I'm glad WrestleMania is good now.
I think we can both just say that we both watched some terrible WrestleManias.
Yeah, that was a really dumb idea. I don't ever want to do that again.
Well, don't worry, we're going to have to when we start talking about, like, Starrcade or Halloween Havoc.
Oh, man. No, we got to start just reviewing matches, man. Just some really good matches, like really funny, strange matches. You gotta review, man, the Doomsday Cage.
You gotta review the fucking Junkyard Invitational match, then.
I'd love to at some point, but Hogan versus Savage, or Hogan and Savage versus the entire Dungeon of Doom, the entire Four Horsemen, Devo, and I probably got where the other guy was from. He was from something really funny.
What was he going by in WCW Zeus?
Z-Gangsta,
that's right.
Gangsta.
Jesus, that man...
was named, The Final Solution. But they missed that at the last minute.
Oh, yeah, I remember that.
Yeah. But, yeah, I forgot. That dude was from something else. From some movie or something that I was tripping out about.
The character?
You know, just the dude that was wrestling. Whatever that guy's name is. They ended up naming him the Ultimate Solution, but he was from some movie. Or he played in some movie that I thought was really random.
Do you know where Tiny Zeus Lister is from?
No.
Pine Bluff, Arkansas.
Devo's from Pine Bluff, Arkansas.
He had 4 matches.
That's why I like wrestling so damn much, probably.
He had 4 matches in his entire career and only won one of them. Or excuse me, he had 5. And the one that he won was in Puerto Rico where he beat Abdullah the Butcher by countout.
I bet that was a wonderful match.
Probably about as wonderful as Brutus Beefcake and Hulk Hogan versus Macho Man and Zeus on SummerSlam 1989. Feel the heat.
SummerSlam didn't get good until about 4 or 5 years ago, man. SummerSlam was like a terrible show.
SummerSlam 1998 was good. If you watch that show again, the opening match with D'Lo Brown and Val Venus was a really good match.
And something else I realized when I was watching WrestleMania 11 is that WCW or the NWA was better than the WWF the entire 80s, that entire decade. The only years in the 90s that WWF was better, I think, is in 92 and like 99. Yeah. Every other year in the 90s, WCW was better. Come out of that old one.
Everybody always talks about how great the Attitude Era was, but the Attitude Era had shitty wrestling. It had great storylines, but shit wrestling.
Yeah.
You had shitty storylines, but great wrestling, except for the main events.
Yeah, man. Shout out to WCW. Shout out to this guy wearing his Papa Shango t-shirt at Halloween Havoc 1996.
Next week, we gotta figure out something to talk about for next week. This episode might go up early. It might go up later tonight after we record this. Who knows?
Well, I want to do like a WrestleMania preview show as soon as, you know, the actual card gets announced.
Yeah, we can do that.
And we're not just guessing matches that we assume that are gonna happen.
I'm sure maybe after Raw or SmackDown tomorrow, something will be definite.
Have you seen the card for the takeover?
Yeah.
This could be like the best show ever, I think.
Yes, it will be.
I think it's gonna be the best takeover ever and the fucking best show they've ever done. I'm just taking a walk, yes.
Yeah, the Gargano and Tommaso Ciampa match is gonna be amazing.
Yeah, it's gonna be like a fucking unsanctioned like street fight kind of deal, so it's gonna be badass. It's gonna be an actual grudge match.
Anywho, before we sign off, Jesse, would you like to recommend WrestleMania 11 to anyone out there?
Hell no, there's not one good thing about it. The only noteworthy thing about it is fucking Mongo's there. At least at WrestleMania 9, there's a couple of good memories that, you know, lasting memories.
I cannot recommend WrestleMania 9 to anybody. In my conscience, I cannot recommend anyone ever watch that pay-per-view. It took me 3 days to finish it, and the pay-per-view is only like 2.5 hours long. And it took me so long because I knew what was coming. Ladies and gentlemen, for the Chair Shots and Masked Men podcast, I am Todd Suliano.
And I am Jesse Matthews.
And we will see all you little kids next week.